today on Real Radio.
For they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. How do you detect false doctrine? Study the Bible. Know the Bible. How do we detect a false brother? Did you know the Bible says in numerous places there's false brothers? In the church, they disguise themselves as brothers. Christian brothers.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a lesson taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. We'll also look at other passages, of course, but this one verse in Matthew 13 serves as our primary text today. It's about the parable of the leaven. Now, leaven is a term we don't often see in Western culture these days, yet it's mentioned several times throughout Scripture. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes symbolic. And the question is, how did Jesus use the term in this context? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Leaven.
Babylonianism. False worship. Whatever is going on, a woman sneaks it in. I believe, look, Jesus is not picking on women. I think he's warning us that in the last days, to those of us who are reading this in the 21st century, there will be a false church who the book of Revelation says is a harlot with robes who rides upon the back of the beast, a false church in the last days. I think he's warning us. And I think the more you get down the hallway and corridor of time and you approach the last days, it will be even more clear. And she's hiding something. Listen, the gospel is to be proclaimed, not hidden. It's to be preached, not snuck. Snuck. That sounded funny. Sneaked. Snookered. Dangers from within. Acts 20, verse 29, Paul the Apostle said, "For I know this." This is one of the most sweetest, tender things you've ever read. He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." What are they going to do? Are they going to come riding in? Are these savage wolves going to become, they're going to ride in and they're just going to start like throwing up on all the little lambs and sheep and you know, what are they going to do? Listen, is there going to be meat and ears and sheep nose flying? And no, none of that. He's talking spiritual. There's going to be wolves that come in. And what do? Bring leaven. They bring false doctrine, false teaching. A little bit will corrupt. Dangers from within. Look what he says. Verse 30, also, from among your own selves men will rise up. Inside the church. Speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. That's their goal, by the way. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years I did not cease to warn you night and day with tears. This is the apostle. Isn't it amazing? Wow, he cried about the coming wolves and false doctrine. Church, listen, can you hear me? Do we care about doctrine today? This is the thing that is going to be a hallmark of the apostate church in the last days. They won't care about doctrine. Let's play bingo. Let's have church service and just do 12 steps to financial success. Let's have a Sunday morning service on how to be happy. And you won't hear the cross, you won't hear the Christ, you won't hear about sin, you won't hear about heaven, and you won't hear about hell. It's all about now. This is it. Grab it. Dangerous. Leaven at work. Galatians 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Paul says to the church at Galatia, "You ran well. Man, you guys took off like a rocket. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." You hear that? Wow. Church, listen, I believe that that can happen now. I believe it is happening now in the church in the world and certainly the church in America. As I said before, churches have never been bigger in America. Think about it. Think. Churches have never been bigger. So why is this nation so messed up? Churches have never been bigger. So why are Christian marriages failing? Churches have never been bigger. So why are we losing 88% of our young people after they enter their fourth year of university time and they have no faith? You see what I'm saying? We're in the time of leaven. I go to church. Look, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm a full-blown atheist, I'm comfortable with the guy. I'm telling you right now, I am totally comfortable with him. You want to know why? I know what to expect from him, and I know what not to expect from him. He's an atheist. When somebody comes, and I don't know who they are, and they say, I'm a Christian, now it's like, oh, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, Pastor, that's fair. You should look for the best in all people. Not going to do it. No. Jesus said, examine their fruit. Watch their lives and then make a decision. That's so unloving. No, you got your words all messed up. No. Dangers from within. Galatians chapter 6. Okay, look, Galatians 6:1. How do we respond to people? What if there's somebody in the body that is messed up? Oh, well, listen, that's cool. In Galatians 6:1, the Bible says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Okay? That's great. That's in the midst of all of us. Watch everybody. In the midst of us loving on each other, okay, there will always be wherever God's at work. Look, I don't want to freak you out, but I pray that God's at work in this church. Do you want God to work in this church? Oh, yeah. Are you sure? Just know this. Wherever God's at work, Satan sends his goobers. It's part of the deal. You buy a burger. I'd like to have that burger, please, with no tomatoes. And then you pull up and you get it and you bite into it. There's just tomatoes. And everybody, you know, I told you not to do tomatoes. Well, it comes with tomatoes. Listen, the church comes with weirdos. Wherever God is moving, if you don't like what I'm saying, Jesus pastored a church of how many people? Jesus was a pastor of a church of 12. And one of them was possessed by Satan. Hello. Think of that. You didn't think of that, did you? Some guy over here just going, I never thought of that. It's true. Satan is always out to stop what God's doing. So I hope there's some weirdos here. We need, you know, some weirdos here to be biblical. These who will infiltrate, by the way, there'll be those who promote sin within their church by ignoring it. Well, we've never heard our pastor ever preach on that issue or say anything about it. There'll be pastors who will say, or church leaders who will say, well, we never addressed that issue. And I think that pastor should be taken out into the street and talked to. What do you mean you never? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Ezekiel, if you see evil coming toward your people and you don't blow the trumpet to warn them, and the evil gets inside of them, God says, I'm going to require their blood from your hands. That's the ministry of a pastor teacher. Did you know that? You're to blow the trumpet. It's not a popular job. People will hate you. Who cares? You and I want, and we are pursuing the smile of God. And you see, when we think, well, I don't know, man, I don't, leaven is creeping in. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21. Test, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The word test means acid wash it. Pour acid on it. See if it holds up. The word to hold fast means seize it. So listen to this. Pour acid on it, what's being declared. And if it makes the test, passes the test, hang on to it. And while you're doing that, stay away from all appearances of evil. Take responsibility for your actions and fight on with God. Listen, very quickly. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 to 12, it is an awesome portion of scripture. I pray for this church that we would be this church in Revelation 3. I don't want to be any of the other churches in the book of Revelation, but this one. In the letters to the seven churches, Jesus wrote to the church of Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania, in Turkey. You in Liberty Bell and all that stuff? No. This is 2,000 years ago in Turkey. And Jesus said unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, or see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. This is awesome. This is my prayer for us. For you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, replacement theology people. But lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Tribulation period. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. That is awesome. That's who I pray we are. Jesus, the Bible, challenges us to be ready for the last days and for a time of apostasy. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, now the Spirit expressly says that in the last times or the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Tragic. And the third and final thing is this, dangers from without. Jesus made it very clear that you and I have an enemy. He's the devil. I don't believe in the devil. Then he's got you snookered. Jesus believed in the devil, called him Satan, Lucifer, the son of perdition. He's the highest order of created angel. And he hates you. He wants to totally destroy your life. He wants your life ruined. And from the very beginning, he has sought to unhinge humanity because God loves humans. Jesus did not die on the cross for one angel. Think of it. The angels that the Bible says, one third of the angelic host, which rebelled against God, we don't have any idea how many that is. They're lost forever. No one is redeemed by the blood of Jesus but a human being. Think of that. If Jesus wanted to redeem poodles, he would have come as a poodle. If Jesus wanted to redeem angels, he would have come as an angel. I thank God there was no angel on the cross. I thank God there was no Great Dane on the cross. There was Jesus, the man on the cross. Why? Because he died to redeem us. No other thing has been created in the image of God but you. And Satan hates your guts for that, though you've never met him. You've never done anything to him. You are loved by God, and that warrants the wrath of the infernal pit of hell against you because you are a dear, precious thing to God. I don't care who you are. You say, I'm an atheist. God loves you. He's crazy in love with you. I'm a sinner. I got more sin stacked up. God loves you so much. He's even worked out a deal. The person who sins the most winds up loving him the most. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 3 and 4, to watch out, take heed in the last days, because there's going to be a telltale sign of you living in the last days. And Jesus said, this is what it is. Take heed that nobody deceives you. By the way, you won't be deceived if you know your Bible. You don't know your Bible, you're going to get sucked down the pit. The sucking sound. What's that? Well, if you read your Bible, you would have known what it is. Know the Bible, and you won't be deceived. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive. That word means pull people off course. How do we detect a false doctrine? How do we detect false doctrine? Corrupt doctrine. Number one, mark it down quickly. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present your bodies or yourself, all of you, your mind, your heart, everything, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know the doctrines of the Bible, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. How do you detect false doctrine? Study the Bible. Know the Bible. How do we detect a false brother? Did you know the Bible says in numerous places there's false brothers? In the church, they disguise themselves as brothers. Christian brothers. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. Here, listen. How do you detect false brethren? Notice the doctrine. Manner of life, how they live, purpose, what they live for, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Watch this. This is what a false brother will not put up with. Paul says, the true brothers and sisters, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. A false brother will not put up with all of that abuse in the name of Jesus. They wind up running. That's why Satan doesn't want persecution to break out. Because it purifies the church and exposes the false brothers. Mark this down. According to Jude 8, they cannot submit to authority. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Dignitaries means luminaries, those that are higher up than they are. I think it's J. Vern McGee who writes this. This is invaluable. Listen to this. What are the characteristics of false brethren? He called them the sons of Korah. What are the characteristics of the sons of Korah? They seek to overthrow a leader or leadership. They detract from the leader's ability to lead. Remember Korah, exactly. Remember Korah? You guys know who Korah is in the Bible? Korah went up against Moses. It's a great, it's amazing events. They grumble against the leader or his or her methods of leading. They cast dissension, division, and or an ill thought among the flock about others in leadership or what is taught. They exhibit a spirit of defiance. They privately approve sins they publicly condemn. They lack spiritual blessings or influence that lasts. They are independent, proud. They actively seek a place of authority or leadership. They attack the characteristic of leaders, arguing that they are unworthy to lead. They entice others to follow them in their own ideas. They are unwilling to repent of their divisive acts. They seem to be at the core or near every controversy. They cause confusion and disorientation within a congregation. They build upon cracked foundations of emotional division and church splits. Jude 12 says, they are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear. Serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. 2 Timothy 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. According to their own desires. Can I add this? They'll pick a ministry or a church that makes them feel good. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Last and final reference, Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. I'm going to borrow from a parable to explain a parable. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise. Notice they're all virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, isn't Jesus delayed? I wish he would have come back the day after I got saved. You know, where was he 35 years ago? Well, he's waiting for you. While the bridegroom is delayed, they all slumbered and slept. All 10 of them were sleeping. And at midnight was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, but while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. And afterward, other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know, Jesus said, neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Those, listen, leaven will seek to rob you of your oil. What is the oil a picture of? The Holy Spirit in your life, active and alive.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Leaven. A look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, and of course some other passages that mention the term leaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, it's Monday, and as we often remind you every Monday, you can watch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, Pastor Jack and his guests engage in some informative discussions, interesting ones, discussions, interviews, most of which can be boiled down to one phrase, the Judeo-Christian worldview. Topics like scripture, is it accurate, is it reliable, and how do we know that it is indeed the Word of God? Evangelism, are we all called to preach to the masses, or are there various ways to participate in evangelism? Apologetics, how do we defend the truths of God's Word? Doctrine, faith and politics, marriage and family, accurate views of history, and so much more. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. And of course, you can browse the categories for yourself and see archived programs too. Just pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's connected to this radio broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.